Welcome to the 11th edition of News of the Church. It's the 20th of February, 2025, and we are in the week after Septuagesima Sunday. Some time ago, I saw a movie called News of the World, in which, years after the Civil War, a former Confederate officer is eking out a living by going about and reading aloud various stories from newspapers from all over the place to people who pay a dime a head to listen. A dime a head works out to about $2.50 today. The idea caught my imagination, and I am now here as a gazetteer. Well, it's been a while since I've done one of these, and I have some things old and things new. I'm sort of like the biblical householder today. The first thing I'll take a look at is from the newsletter number 192, dated way back in November of 2024, called Les Amis du Monastère, from the wonderful Abbey of Le Barou in southern France. They have, by the way, revived the old papal wine vineyards of the Avignon Popes, and they're making very fine wine out of them, and you can get some too. But in their newsletter, they usually have some spiritual points, and but there's also a chronicle of what's going on in the abbey, and they talk about maybe books that they put out because they have a publishing arm, and just various news of the place. Very often some history and liturgical points. But let's just find out a little bit about what's going on at the monastery. I found this quite interesting. On Thursday, July 18th, harvesting potatoes in the vegetable gardens by novices, 1.5 tons. A Belgian friend harvests 50,000 times more. No regrets, small is always beautiful, says a modern economist. According to Chesterton, the future lies in small local production. So apparently they adhere to that Chestertonian view. Let's see, what else are they up to here? Wednesday, August 14th, Nicholas arrived by bicycle from Fribourg, Switzerland, to enter the novitiate. Run that you may win the prize, says St. Paul. The prize to be won is the life hidden in God, which one can never buy too dearly. Thursday, the 15th of August, Feast of the Assumption, Mass is said in reparation for the spectacle that opened the Olympic Games. In the afternoon, procession of the vow of Louis XIII in memory of the consecration of France by this king. The almost miraculous birth of the Dauphin, after 22 years of waiting, brought the king to this solemn act, thus recalling that France is the kingdom of Mary. Magnificent organ pieces in the summer by Ian Simcock, Simone Pedroni, and Harold Bunt, who is 18 years old. The latter began the organ at the age of 3. Okay, let's go down here a little bit more. And we have... How about this? August 29th, Thursday. Thank God Father Abbott is recovering from his painful health problems and is resting before leaving for the Congresso. But what is the Congresso? Leo XIII, who had a passion for unity, wanted to bring all the Benedictine monks of the world to know each other better, to invigorate their attachment to the Roman pontiff, and to broaden their horizons. To do this, he had the Sant'Anselmo College magnificently rebuilt in 1890, where young Benedictine clerics from all over the world would take their grades by associating themselves with the life of the Rome of the Popes. To ensure that the order has an official representative with the Pope and that the Roman congregations, he also created an abbot primate, whose role is to preside over the unity of the various congregations. However, each retains its complete autonomy. The abbot primate is elected by the abbots of the order who meet in Congress every 4 years. The Congresso also allows the abbots to get to know each other, to become aware of each other's difficulties, and to exchange good ideas to face them. Our Father Abbot is struck by the excellent spirit of the assembly in the face of the serious difficulties of the hour, mainly the general decline in vocations. The latest official figures of 2020 gave for the Benedictine order 400 monasteries and 6,650 monks, very old on average, against 11,420 religious, quite young, in 1955. Yeah, that's quite a drop. Although, they have lots of novices at Le Barreau and lots of novices at Norcia in Italy, and I believe lots of novices in Clear Creek in the United States. Wherever tradition seems to be embraced, both for the men and for the women, like the lovely Gower Abbey in Missouri, vocations flourish. Speaking of the wonderful sisters in Gower Abbey, Missouri, the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles, have their newsletter out for Lent of 2025, and there's a brief blurb at the beginning, and then there are lots and lots and lots of pictures with little captions, which kind of show the life of the abbey and a little explanation of what's going on. I'll read you the little blurb and then maybe pick out a picture or two and try to describe it with the note. Dear family, friends, and benefactors, warmest spring greetings from the Abbey. We pray that you all had a most blessed and grace-filled Christmas season, as we did amongst our four houses. That's amazing. I remember when they had like one little house in a suburb of Kansas City. Anyway, within the past several months, we've witnessed 11 candidates becoming postulants, and our very first vocation will have arrived at St. Mary's in Colwich, England, by the time you read this. You may remember that a couple of sisters from England had a visa problem under the Biden administration, and they had to go back. And at that time, someone who I believe is a descendant of Thomas More, St. Thomas More, had an empty abbey in her possession, and she gave it to the sisters. And so now the sisters have this lovely new place in England that they are, I guess it's a fixer-upper too. Anyway, they have their very first vocation at St. Mary's in Colwich, England, by the time you read this. This will bring our number to 80 members, and with around 15 slated to join in the summer and fall, we will be close to 100 this time next year. May God be praised for this beautiful growth. Of our four houses, there is no doubt that Colwich is the most challenging, as the buildings are so old and in great need of restoration and repair. The Abbey has temporarily sent more sisters there to help make the buildings more habitable and are daily engaged in strenuous manual labor. But it is a marvelous thing not only to pray for restoration within the church, but devote the very labor of our hands to it as well. I can't imagine anything more Benedictine. In Evansville, the plain Stark Chapel is now being renovated into a heavenly dwelling for our Eucharistic King, where the sisters will chant his praise day and night. The sisters will be able to celebrate Holy Week and Easter in the beautiful space. Our Ava sisters, it's either Ava or Ava, I'm not quite sure, it's A-V-A, it's the town in Missouri, A-V-A, Ava, I'm going to say Ava. Our Ava sisters have happily settled into their new monastery, and we are now working on paying down the debt. Work on the Father's shrine will continue once the weather allows. Our 41 sisters at the Abbey are all a bit snug, but the good God will provide for all of our needs in these times of expansion. He has shown us such beneficence through all of you up to now, and know he will continue to inspire many generous benefactors so we can keep going, because as we see an increase in number, we also see an increase in bills. Thank you so much for all your assistance, and you know that you can always count on our continued daily prayers. May the Lenten season drawing near bring many a grace to all of you as we draw closer to our dear Savior. Yeah, it's really lovely. And I do believe that when they say they're praying for us, I know that I ask them often to pray for me, and I don't doubt it at all. Here's a picture of the sisters working in the garden. Here's someone scrubbing potatoes, and here's some of the sisters making vestments. That's what they do. That they specialize in that at the Abbey. They have lots of pictures of the sisters in the snow. They've got a picture of a hill here where they're sliding down the snowy hill on cardboard boxes, and so forth. The St. Anne Chapel renovation, they're showing it's got scaffold in it, and here are sisters and their work habits, and they're all covered with plaster and paint, and they're working on the floor with a workman and so forth. And they're really industrious and hard at it. I have here something that arrived in the mail for Advent of 2024. I tell you, I'm really way behind with these things. This is the chronicle of yet another Benedictine place. This one is in Ireland. These are from the Benedictine monks of Our Lady of the Cenacle. This is Silverstream Priory. And as a matter of fact, Silverstream has done a little bit of publishing. I think they're the ones who did Insigne Jesu, which was a very good book for priests. And they also made the finest, the best set of altar cards for the old mass. I've seen some very beautiful ones. For example, the ones by the artist from near Chicago, Daniel Mitsui, they're magnificent. But they're so magnificent that you get distracted by them. And you start looking at all the beautiful images and so forth in them. But the ones from Silverstream are rather Spartan and so forth, but they're beautifully arranged and easy to read. And I keep going back to them all the time as my daily altar cards for Holy Mass. Anyway, they have a monastic chronicle too. And I'll give you a couple of items from it. This summer was filled with visitors, including retreatants, adorers, and several young men inquiring about the life of the Benedictines of Perpetual Adoration. Now, with the falling away of the summer months, autumn is upon us in all of its abundance. This year, Brother Gardner's outdoor beds have produced their first real potato crop, along with other vegetables, in a continued effort towards self-sufficiency. Young potatoes. I'm reminded of the movie The Martian. Autumn always means apples in all of their wonderful abundance, which are transformed in big batches into applesauce or compote, to be later enjoyed in the monastic refectory. Our berry patch also continues to thrive, so both monks and retreatants have spent enjoyable evening recreations in the cool Irish air, sharing stories and harvesting an array of currants, blackberries, and other varieties of fruit. Besides the harvest of berries, our two English saddleback pigs finally went to the butcher, and a superabundance of sausages made their way back to the monastery. Hours were spent sorting, separating, and freezing all of the porky products, concluding in the brothers giving thanks for the sheer abundance and sampling of the sausages. In more long-term work, the process of constructing an outdoor patio through rain and shine has finally been completed, giving more space for both monks and visitors to rest in the beauty of the outdoors. The patio also includes a beautiful cast of the Last Supper, pictured on the cover of this newsletter by a local artist and friend of the monastery, which provides a beautiful reminder both of the Eucharistic vocation of our community and that Christ desires us to be one in fraternal charity. And let's see what they're reading. Other refectory reading has, they were saying they had been reading the English letters of Abbot Marmion. Other refectory reading has also allowed us to learn from the example of religious from many different times and places. The life of Venerable Anne of Jesus, recently beatified, introduced us to one of the great helpers of St. Teresa of Avila in the Reform of Carmel. We also heard Jesuit Father Walter Chizik's account of his inner life during his years of imprisonment in the Soviet Union in He Leadeth Me and in The Strength of Faith. We heard the story of British Little Sisters of the Poor who lived out their religious life in internment camps in occupied France during the Second World War. While our trials are little compared to theirs, we can at least try to imitate the spirit of faith and trust in divine providence which their lives exemplified. I can attest, by the way, that He Leadeth Me by Walter Chiswick is very moving. And here's one last point from them. Two other light-hearted events that punctuated this fall were as follows. Our beloved cat, Mildred, who is pictured below, is a black cat with a white bib, little white paws, and a partially white and black nose. Our beloved cat, Mildred, who is pictured below, and there's a picture here of a black cat with a white bib and little white paws and so forth. Our beloved cat, Mildred, was found, or so it seemed, after a tragic car accident. After a majestic burial, the grave being decorated with flowers, and the monastery engaging in 3 hours of mourning, the real Mildred, very much alive, ambled up to Dom Finian in the most nonchalant manner. While she did not understand the jubilation that followed, she accepted all of the attention with the greatest condescension. And finally, the monastery's fire extinguishers were beyond their expiration date, so a local specialist came with their replacements. However, the old fire extinguishers were still unused. Thus, after an initial professional demonstration, followed the enthusiastic practice of eager monks, as pictured above. And here we have these Benedictine monks and their habits going around blasting away with fire extinguishers. I'm reminded of some years ago, my dear friend Father Tim Finnegan, when he was still pastor in Blackfin, he was out with the altar boys doing this with the expired extinguishers. And quickly, we wing our way back across the Atlantic and in deep into the flyover states, back all the way back to Missouri, where the Society of St. Pius X has consecrated their church in Kansas City. I was there once years ago, and it needed work, for sure. But in their newsletter, this is the newsletter, let's see, does it have a date on it? October to November of 2024. So again, it's old news, but, you know, all right. In the beginning of the newsletter, there's the letter from the district superior, who is Father John Fullerton. Dear friends, in May 1980, the Society of Pius X was blessed to acquire the beautiful church dedicated to St. Vincent de Paul on Flora Avenue in Kansas City, Missouri, for a mere $60,000. While this year marks the centenary of the church's opening in 1924, the edifice was never consecrated. The construction of St. Vincent's caused the parish to go into debt. Since the payment of all debt on a church is a necessary precondition for its consecration, that ceremony was not performed. Also, even if it had been consecrated, once it was sold, it would have lost that consecration. But I digress. Actually, I won't. Because, you know, out in the countryside, in many places, there will be little churches dotting the especially rural areas. And you'll often find that the main altar has just a wood table for the altar with an altar stone set into it. And that really indicates that the church was never consecrated, probably because, you know, they had debt to pay on it. And then once it was paid, they just never got around to doing it. But again, as the altars were torn out of those, there wind up being altar stones everywhere. That's a whole other topic. So anyway, they... since payment of all the debt on church is necessary precondition for consecration, the ceremony was not performed. This defect has now been remedied. On September 26th, 2024, Bishop Bernard Fellet performed the consecration ceremony in the presence of around a dozen priests and several hundred faithful. By this ceremony, St. Vincent's has been set apart permanently and exclusively for the worship of God. Whenever Mass is celebrated, it is as if heaven comes down to earth, because the perfect worship that is happening in heaven is mirrored below. When this worship takes place in a space specifically consecrated for that purpose, it takes on a higher solemnity by the fact that our Lord possesses, as it were, the place where the Mass is celebrated. The church itself becomes a gateway to heaven as well as its antechamber. Yeah, you know, when Our first, parents fell. The material creation fell under the domination of the one whom Christ calls the prince of this world, right? We know the enemy. And so we things dedicated for sacred purposes have to be taken away from the enemy and handed over to Christ the King. And that's done through consecrating them. And we can have consecrated places like a cemetery or a church, things like a chalice used for mass, and persons, priests and religious and so forth. And to, as a matter of fact, any harm of them, someone would, do something to that church. It wouldn't be just the harm of vandalism, the sin of vandalizing someone's property. It would also be sacrilege. So when you mishandle or mistreat a consecrated thing, person, or place, it's also the sin of sacrilege. And both of the sin and sacrilege have to be confessed. Back to the letter. With the construction of St. Vincent's, with the consecration of St. Vincent's, the SSPX now has 5 consecrated churches in the United States. We rejoice in the fact that these edifices are owned by the Society and so are permanently and exclusively dedicated to the celebration of the traditional Latin Mass. There is not, and there never will be, communion in the hand, altar girls, Eucharistic ministers, ecumenical liturgies, enculturation liturgies, or any of the other aberrations that sadly characterize Catholic worship today. Our Lord is respected and honored for the King that he is. We continually receive requests for SSPX priests to start missions for groups and faithful around the country, and sometimes even to take care of chapels that have been purchased. I wish that we could answer all of these requests so that we might, as at St. Vincent's, occupy more territory for Christ our King. But the priests are too few. For this reason, I ask you once more, to pray for the perseverance of our seminarians all the way to the priesthood, and also for the awakening of priestly vocations in the hearts of our young men. May God bless you, Father John Fullerton. I think I'll wrap this up here. It's more important that I bring this to a conclusion and get it processed and get it posted than to add more to it. I just have to kind of get back in the saddle again, as it were. And I hope that you will have found some of this of interest. If you have, drop me a note if you want. I'm always looking for interesting bits of news, especially good news. And I would ask for your prayers. Please pray for me, as I will for you.